Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Shalby Limited, hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurang Sakhare from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and we welcome all the participants to the Shalby Limited Q2 FY 2024 earnings call, hosted by Elara Securities. Today, we have with us the senior management representatives from Shalby. We will start with the opening remarks from Mr. Sushobhan Das Gupta, Vice Chairman and Global President, and Mr. Parag Agarwal, Chief Business Officer, followed by a discussion on financial performance by Mr. Amit Pathak, Chief Financial Officer. After that, we will open the floor for Q&A for all the participants. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Punit Maheshwari for important disclaimers regarding any forward-looking statements that may be made in today's call. Over to you, Punit.
Thanks, Gaurang. Good morning, everyone. Our earnings presentation is uploaded on the stock exchange website and our company website, shalby.org. We do hope you have already had the opportunity to go through the presentation. Please note that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide number 39 of the investor presentation for a detailed disclaimer. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sushobhan Das Gupta, Vice Chairman and Global President, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Punit, and good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you all to Shalby Limited second quarter full year 2024 earnings call. Firstly, we at Shalby would like to congratulate Dr. Vikram Shah, Founder, Chairman, and Managing Director of Shalby Limited, who has been awarded the very prestigious Healthcare Personality of the Year Award 2023 by FICCI, for his extraordinary commitment and incredible work in the field of healthcare. This is a very well-deserved recognition for Dr. Vikram Shah and Shalby Hospitals for the tireless work that he and the entire Shalby team does every minute, every hour, and every day towards treating every patient with a smile. This is a stupendous achievement that makes everyone associated with Shalby be humbled with a lot of pride and gratitude. Now, let me provide you with insights on our performance at Shalby in the second quarter of full year 24. We have delivered a robust positive performance in Q2. Our hospital business has delivered the highest ever EBITDA margin at 26%, highest in any quarter so far since its inception, driven by leveraging operating expenses with increase in self-pay and insurance patients year on year and quarter on quarter. That has resulted in higher double-digit ROC at 21% on an annualized basis. Our hospital business continued its high double-digit growth spree in the key metrics of inpatient counts and surgery counts, growing by 22% and 14% respectively year on year. Hospital business revenue and EBITDA grew by 22% and 32% year on year respectively in Q2. The number of occupied beds increased by over 13% year-on-year in Q2 on account of increased volumes, hence the occupancy levels have reached 54% in last quarter of this year versus 49% in the last quarter of the previous year. The payer mix has been better with higher self-pay and insurance patients in the second quarter of this year as compared to the previous quarter. At Shalby, our undivided focus has been on demonstrating our clinical excellence through successful execution of many diverse critical surgeries in several of our hospital units. A few of them that I could mention here are the removal of a 1.2 kg uterus along with fibroids by vaginal maxillation at Shalby Jaipur, successful outcome of a TAVI, which is a transcatheter aortic valve implantation procedure performed on a very aged patient who was suffering from aortic stenosis since past 4 years at Shalby Indore, and saving the life of a premature baby of 27 weeks with birth weight of only 800 grams, having respiratory distress with the LISA technique, which is a less invasive surfactant administration technique, using a fine bore catheter into the trachea instead of using an endotracheal tube in delivering surfactant directly into the lungs. We also take pride in sharing that we have successfully completed over 275 plus kidney and liver transplants at our SG and Indore units till date. Our home care services business continued to showcase good performance in Q2, growing by 62% year-on-year with revenues of 3.6 crores and patient count of 7,870 that grew by 15% year-on-year basis. Additionally, revenue from international business locked 2 crores in Q2, though remaining flat on a year-to-year basis. I'm happy to mention that Shalvi has grown its international presence in other new geographies like UAE, Oman, Bangladesh, and Nepal through forging the right partnerships to conduct regular OPDs and healthcare camps and have plans to conduct surgeries in these locations soon. I'm very hopeful that these strategic locations will help us increase our international hospital revenue significantly very shortly. As a part of our social commitment, we continue to spread awareness about the importance of health and well-being through various social media platforms and created 120-plus healthcare videos during last quarter. We also conducted more than 240 healthcare camps and 90 healthcare talks across all our units during the last quarter as a part of various community outreach programs. Shalvi also takes pride in nurturing young talent through our Shalvi Academy vertical, with 610-plus students registered in various healthcare programs during the last quarter. I'm also happy to declare that our implant business has delivered positive EBITDA in quarter 2 full year 24 because of continuous improvement that is happening through process improvements in the production shop floor, we being able to secure much improved production or rather procurement prices from our multiple vendors, and we now having a tighter control on our operational expenses. The revenue has been a bit soft at rupees 15 crores in the last quarter, being lower than the previous quarter and the similar quarter last year, and being primarily impacted by the large unanticipated delay in a full commercial launch of our UniKnee, which is branded as Tux, both in the US and in India, due to the delay by our external vendors in the manufacturing and supplies of a few mandatory critical instruments without which the Tux surgeries cannot be done properly. Unfortunately, there has also been a delay in the launch of several other new products, including a new total knee branded as Ambition, that is expected to be a blockbuster in India, Indonesia, and US, as well as our pin bin offerings, the titanium niobium nitride offerings, which is the gold-colored implant for the CKS knee and the Tux Uni knee. We have unfortunately also been delayed in the US to launch our line extensions of our existing knee. That has been a constant demand from all our US surgeons due to complications in the engineering drawing conversions, as well as relaunch delay of our porous-coated cementless knee in the US, the supply timelines of which have been significantly pushed back by our two external vendors responsible for porous coating. Our supply chain woes were compounded by further unforeseen delays in producing many complicated engineering drawings for both our implants and instruments, as well as providing quality approvals to many of our third-party vendors who qualified FDA auditors in OUS countries. The contribution and sales mix from the U.S. and India accounted for 66% in the U.S. and 34% in India in the last quarter. Despite having large orders in the system from India and Indonesia, however, these orders couldn't be fulfilled due to delay in manufacturing of the specific lower-cost instruments and implants, which is so essential to serve the lower-priced markets of India and Indonesia. As part of our continued initiatives to educate our surgeons on our production procedures in the last quarter, we have conducted 3 virtual training programs over webcasts by Dr. Reitman, our designer Tux knee surgeon who's based in Dallas, Texas, where more than 30-plus surgeons participated from India, Indonesia, and U.S., which has resulted in increased awareness and demand for Tux. We have also started part supplying our implants to Indonesia market against the bulk order received from that market in the first quarter of full year 24. Our core leadership team at SAT have fully embraced the top key tactics for strong execution in the next 2 quarters so as to try and close the current gap to a full-year sales target with a definitive single-digit positive EBITDA. The key tactics are as follows. Receipt of the full instrumentation of TUCS in the early third quarter of full year 24 would enable us to go for a full commercial launch in India, Indonesia, and the U.S., which in turn would help us recoup sales for our UNI-ME, which is so badly needed. Launching our TinVin, or titanium niobium nitride, which is the gold-colored CKS, and TUCS in quarter 3 and quarter 4, full year 24, that would be used a lot in Shalvi hospitals as well as some other large centers in India, along with a couple of centers in the U.S. that would fetch larger profits for SAT or Shalvi Advanced Technologies. Accelerating production of our lower-cost implants and instruments across multiple vendors that would help dramatically improve supplies to clear back orders in our lower-priced markets of India and Indonesia. Engaging our prospects, KOLs, to participate in various virtual and face-to-face training and education programs and life surgeries by our designer knee hip surgeons. I'm confident that this would help us tremendously in gaining new surgeons' confidence and support for our products. Growing our engineering team with addition of team members in India to accelerate the projects that are direct contributors to our growth roadmap at SAC. If you have understood what I've said in the previous paragraph, our engineering and our supply chain have been the biggest bottlenecks. So we have been proactively trying to solve this by putting up an engineering team in India to accelerate these projects. Continue to strengthen our sales team and add more feet on the ground in the U.S. and in India. Create a large social media presence, plus initiate a participation in key conferences in all our present geographies, executing various models of surgeon engagement. Enter into new territories, which we are very close now, in Malaysia, Argentina, and Middle East countries by the end of full year 24. And finally, continuously focus on smart procurement and reduce day-to-day operation cost to achieve the target of being self-sustainable in due course of time. We remain confident enough to significantly improve our implant business results through accelerating the launch of our new products, winning new accounts, adding new territories, and new experienced salespeople, continuously improving operational efficiency, and furthermore, substantially bringing down our procurement and day-to-day operational costs to add more towards our operating profits. With all these key strategies, relentless and ruthless execution will be the key to our success soon, with having the right people and leadership in place. This, in turn, will contribute to the ongoing creation of sustainable value for all stakeholders at Shalvi Limited. Now I hand it over to Parag Agarwal to discuss our SOC quarterly performance. Parag, over to you.
For important developments on hospitals and implant business. A very good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to inform you that we have successfully operationalized Shalvi Managed SOC franchise unit at Ranchi. This is a 60-bed capacity unit and we operationalized it in the month of August 2023 as promised in the first quarter of FY24. Our SOC franchise business delivered an adequate performance in quarter 2 FY24. Total surgeries performed at SOC units operated and managed by us have increased by 116% year-on-year and 31% quarter-on-quarter. Total revenue from operated and managed units has increased by 104% year-on-year and 27% quarter-on-quarter. With this, we have five franchisee network hospitals at Ahmedabad, Lucknow, Udaipur, Gwalior, and Ranchi under Shalvi operated and Shalvi managed business model. Our next SOC unit at Rajkot is on satisfactory progress and is expected to get operationalized by end of FY24. We have been incredibly selective in our choice of potential partners from the many inquiries we have received so far. To maintain the reputation of a strong brand, we follow a clearly defined process and strict criteria when making these selections. Looking forward, we have strong sense of optimism about seeing positive developments in the upcoming quarters of this fiscal year. Our primary focus remains on utilizing our expertise and excellence in orthopedics with the goal of establishing more than 40 Shalvi franchise hospitals across India in the next 3 to 4 years. Now, I would like to hand over to Mr. Amit Pathak, CFO, Shalvi Limited, to discuss Shalvi's quarterly financial performance in more detail. Over to you, Amit.
Thanks, Parag. Good morning, everyone. I will walk you through the financial performance of your company for the second quarter of FY24. First, I will run you through the consolidated performance of the group. Highest ever consolidated revenue of 243 crore grew by 17.5% YOY and 1.4% quarter-on-quarter basis. Highest ever consolidated EBITDA in any quarter of rupees 58 crores with a 24% margin in Q2 FY24 and grew by 37% YOY and 22% quarter-on-quarter basis. PBT of rupees 42 crore with 17.5% margin grew by 49% YOY and 29% quarter-on-quarter, and PAT of 27 crore with 11.3% margin grew by 50% YOY and 33% quarter-on-quarter. The group continued to maintain a very strong balance sheet with low gearing ratio of 0.13x and closed quarter with a net cash balance of rupees 70 crores at group level. Now I will run through the standalone performance of the hospital business. Highest ever standalone revenue of 223 crore grew by 22% YOY and 3.1% on quarter-on-quarter basis. EBITDA of rupees 57.5 crores with 26% margin in quarter 2 FY24 and grew by 32% YOY basis and 15.6% quarter-on-quarter. PBT of 47 crores with 21% margin grew by 41% YOY and 18.3% on quarter-on-quarter basis, and PAT of rupees 30 crores with 13.6% margin grew by 39% YOY and 16% quarter-on-quarter basis. The payer mix is better with the highest health pay, 35% insurance patient, 44% in the second quarter of FY24 as compared to the previous quarter at 33% for the health pay and 42% for the insurance patient. ARPOB and ALOS has also shown the excellent improvement at 36,136 and 3.92 respectively in quarter 2 FY24 versus 33,409 and 3.90 in the same quarter of the previous year. At standalone level, again we continue to maintain a very strong balance sheet with a low gearing ratio at 0.02x and close the quarter with the net cash balance of rupees 163 crores. With that operating leverage kicked in, our standalone ROC has improved to 23% in quarter 2 FY24 on annualized basis. Our implant business has delivered a positive EBITDA in current quarter due to continuous improvement in the operational efficiency and better procurement cost. The revenue is at the moderate level of rupees 14.7 crore in quarter 2 FY24 versus 16.4 crore in quarter 1 24. Now we can open the floor for the Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Pinaki Banerjee from AUM Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, actually, my first question is that you are now diversifying into other medical arenas like cardiology, oncology, etc., and nephrology. So, sir, 2 to 3 years down the line, where do you see the revenue breakup? Apart from the fact that you aim to maintain the leadership at the arthroplasty segment.
Yeah. So I think we continue to grow a double digit, higher double digit on both the segments, and we have been focusing on multi-speciality for last 15 years now. And 15 years ago, we were 100% orthopedics. And today, as we speak, we are about 40% arthroplasty. And all the other top specialties contribute 60% to the top line. Among them, the big ones for us are cardiology, oncology, intensive care, neurology, nephrology. So, you know, as we see the next 3-4 years, we see that, you know, the arthroplasty business has been growing at 18% to 20%. It will continue to grow at that pace. And some of the other faster growing specialties will continue to kind of take a higher market share. So, you know, we will see that the orthopedics and arthroplasty will, you know, kind of settle between 30% and 40% of the top line.
Okay. And actually, in the second quarter, actually, we find that the surgery count has seen a month-on-month decline. So, actually, well, any particular reason, and considering the fact that this Q3 is the season of festive season, so are you expecting a further decline with respect to planned surgery?
Yeah, I think you should look at it from a year-on-year basis. On a year-on-year basis, we have grown 15%, you know, on the surgery count. And in fact, the arthroplasty surgeries have grown at 18% in this period. So it is a good performance, I would say.
Okay, okay. So just last question. So with the franchising model on this FOSO and FOSM, so according to you, which one is more better in terms of operations? And in terms of revenue or profitability?
See, in both these terms, you know, when it comes to the operations model, we recognize the top line revenue as well as the profit in our books. When it comes to the managed model, what we recognize in our books is only the revenue share we receive. But from a cost perspective, our cost percentages are very low when it comes to Shalvi managed model.
Okay, thanks.
So it's more operational. So, you know, it's a give and take because the revenue share largely, you know, 90% of the revenue share will hit the bottom line.
Okay, okay. Okay, sir. That's all from my end. Thanks and all the best for your future. Thanks.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of CA Vikas from Econtree. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. One thing I want to understand, previously you mentioned this franchisee, whatever the hospitals is there, it's a 50 in the last quarter presentations also. But in this quarter presentation, you reduced this one, is a 40 in the next 2, 3, 4 years. Any specific reason to drop out? Is it 10 hospitals?
No particular reason to, you know, say that there is a drop. When we talked about 50, that was something which we mentioned about 2-3 years back. As we scout the market more, we look at that the next 3-4 years for 40. When we look at the, you know, the cities, the potential cities and the growth in the cities, we look at 40 as a, you know, more probable number. But having said that, as we progress through the next 2 to 3 years and the growth happens and the potential in the tier 2, tier 3 town increases, this will be a, you know, this will be an endeavor which will not stop at 40. This will continue. So as we progress through, you will see more and more funding.
But in the Shalvi is a major hospitals and major franchisee in the western and the northern part, as compared to the southern region and eastern region.
Right.
Any specific reason this one is a, because you are more present in the Gujarat, Rajasthan and MP, but whatever the, any specific reason you are not explore the presence in the eastern and the southern part?
So we started our operations with Ranchi was our first unit, you know, on the Shalvi managed model in eastern part in August. You know, we will continue to explore the eastern and southern part. We must realize that, you know, before going into a particular region, you need to put through a hub kind of model where you have to operationalize the unit also. It's not just about getting into a city and opening up a unit. You have to look at how do you operationalize. So having a hub and spoke kind of model, let's say east, will be far more in focus where we will have, you know, few more units. And as we have more units, the operationalization of the operational efficiencies of those units will be better.
Also, I'll add there, you know, in fact, we have been conducting our outpatient clinics in eastern part and the southern part since the last 15 years now. So all the major cities have been covered by Shalby, and we get for orthopedics and for arthroplasty, there are patients coming from most of the major towns in the south and the east as well. So we are a well-recognized brand nationally, internationally for orthopedics.
I understand, but whatever your last statement is there, you create the hub and spoke model. But this Ranchi is a spoke model right now. You are not creating any kind of the hub is there in the eastern part.
See, you will not be able to create a hub and spoke on day one. You start with one and then you create the entire hub. So it's the first one in eastern part of the country, which is Ranchi. Now Ranchi, as you know, Shane talked about, we have been getting a lot of patients from Ranchi to Ahmedabad in past, and that's where we expanded into Ranchi, have our franchisee unit in Ranchi, where we have a strong presence, strong brand recall, and we have started doing well at Ranchi.
Okay, understand. And one part is the last question. Is a right now your EBITDA is somewhere, it's a good number is there in this quarter, is a 26% due to the increase of the IPD and reduce the loss also, slightly reduce the loss. Whether it is a sustainable in 26% or you are comfortable in the future is a 23 to 25% of the EBITDA?
No, so I think it is quite sustainable because you see that, you know, the top line has grown nearly 22% for, you know, the hospital business. The EBITDA growth is north of 30%, you know, from on a year-on-year basis. So, you know, I think based on, you know, the occupancy growth that is still possible within the current capacity, we feel that this is definitely a sustainable model. And yes, it has been a good performance because, you know, we have each of our hospitals, multi-speciality hospitals, has shown a double-digit EBITDA ranging from 12% to 40% across the multi-speciality hospitals.
It's a sustainable number, is there in future, is a 25% EBITDA?
Absolutely, because there is significant margin expansion still possible in many of the units because, you know, there is, as I said, a capacity to build on and operating leverage. You already can see that the operating leverage is playing in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Raj from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have just two questions. The first question is on the margin. Given that we are operating at a low occupancy, as the occupancy improves, is there a scope for a margin improvement from here on? Or is it the margin we will be able to maintain?
No, so I think we will continue, the margin will continue to expand. And as you know that, you know, there is no significant capacity addition in terms of new hospitals which is coming in. So there is nothing to really drag the hospital EBITDA down. At the same time, you know, we have a aggregate capacity of 2,000 beds. We can do sustainably. We can kind of achieve a 1,300 to 1,400 kind of average occupancy through the year. So there is possibly, you know, there is upside of almost 60 to 70% on the existing top line, you know, over the next few years. And, you know, once that plays out, you will definitely see that these margins will expand.
Will there be, given that the thing will happen in the existing hospital, what should we assume as the increase in your average revenue per occupied bed over, say, 3-year time frame in terms of annual increase?
Well, you know, that I think really depends on, you know, the specialty mix. It also depends on, you know, which city, you know, is growing faster because the ARPOB is also dependent on the geography. So you cannot, you know, kind of, you know, assume what will be the growth rate on the ARPOB. In our case, we are definitely seeing that the ARPOB is growing between 6 to 10% on a year-on-year basis.
that is sort of inflation rate. So we will be able to increase the occupancy of the beds, plus we will get inflation rate kind of a thing on the ARPOB side. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Third thing is on the hospitals which are not operated, sort of the operated franchisee hospitals, we are getting a management fee. What you said is largely it goes down to the bottom line after some basic expenses. And with the increase of that, that will further augment our margins. And this is not included in the 2000 bed we are talking of, correct?
Yes, you are correct in that.
Okay. And sir, last thing on the this revenue has not been good on the implant business. In this quarter, how do we see that business say over the second half of this year and going forward next year, year after?
Yeah, so as I said earlier, we would be targeting to reach $100 million in 5 years time, and we are completely committed to the mission. Having said this, as I said earlier, you've been experiencing something which is very unanticipated, which is not in our hands. And every company, every industry, if you look at orthopedics, every company is facing the similar problems in supply chains, which is very unanticipated, as well as the engineering issues that have cropped up. The good thing is that we have identified these are the things that what is in our control and what is not in our control. For example, as to just give you an example, we were a certain vendor, which I would not like to name here, was supplying, giving us a lead time of 6 to 9 months. We then had to go into another vendor in another country to be able to not only get a lead time of around 4 to 5 months, but also being able to reduce our procurement prices by at least 30%. So these are the step-by-step things which we are doing, because these were not anticipated. A vendor comes up and tells us, hey, you are manufacturing some of the instruments, we are gone into back order, which becomes a problem for us. For example, as I said, the tux instrumentation, we have around close to 120 or 125 instruments. Out of them, 6 or 7 instruments have just come now. And wow, these 6 to 7 instruments are so critical that without that, you cannot do a proper surgery. And we are a responsible healthcare organization. We just cannot go in and push in our products without proper instrumentation. And that was the things that has happened in this quarter. We have understood we will be a much improved third quarter and a fantastic fourth quarter. So as I said earlier, we will be trying and reaching our sales target. We will be definitely meeting up our commitment of positive EBITDA at a mid-range, single-digit mid-range by the end of this year. And we'll try and reach that sales target number, but the first two quarters has not been so good because of the supply chain and engineering. There will be a load in this quarter and the following quarter, but we'll do a level best to try and reach closer to the sales target number.
So that would assume that demand is not a problem. The problems are more internal and more in terms of supply chain. So when we talk, when we get into the third quarter and the fourth quarter, you think some part of the problem is already addressed, and sort of you're saying by fourth quarter should be fine.
Yes. So as I said, some of these things, for example, the tux instruments, we're very confident will be coming in. Right. So that's something that I said. Secondly, the Indonesia supplies will be going in. We are very expectant that even the Latin America supplies will be going in by December. So the third quarter will be better. Also, we expect a part of our gold-coated, or the, I wouldn't use the word gold-coated, it is the titanium niobium nitride oxide, CKSD, will be coming in. And last but not the least, there are certain instruments that we have not been able to supply to India and Indonesia, which are our low-priced countries. So we will be able to supply them at large quantities, and some of the products will also be able to come and supply to these countries. So we are expecting that slowly we'll be having, it's not a jump. By learning in this business that's happening, especially in the production side, the supply chain side, it's been pretty unprecedented. We never had such supply chain issues for so long, but this has been something that we did not anticipate. But we are very positive that the next quarter would be better than this quarter, and the last quarter would be a very good quarter.
On the baseline, the business is doing fine. On the core hospital business side, we are doing reasonably okay. I think this is good. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for answering the questions. Have a good time.
Thank you.
We'll take the next question from the line of Abhay Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello.
Please proceed, Mr. Trent.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning. So my question is basically on the inventory level. So I see the consolidated inventory is close to 205 crore and the standalone inventory is close to 1,718 crore. So we've close to 188 crore of inventory in the implants business. Am I reading that right?
So, inventory for the implant business for H1 is around 154 crores versus 133 crores at the end of the last year.
Okay.
So there is an increase of 20 crores due to this implant business.
Okay. So we're maintaining such high levels of inventory for based on anticipated business going forward, or are there more, or
yes,
will there be write-offs in this inventory?
So there will not be any write-off. This inventory has been the process of the sales plans, what Sushovan says, in quarter three and quarter four. So that will be get liquidated. And in the implant business, we have to keep the higher level of inventory, but it will get slowly liquidated, and it will come to the very reasonable level in the mid of the next year.
So what
Let me answer, let me answer this a bit, and frame it out for you. Basically, when you look at an orthopedic implant business, and if you just go across to any company which is, you know, orthopedics, and I worked in Johnson & Johnson for a long time, so I can calibrate this. It's basically the orthopedic business inventory is between 365 days to around 720 days and more, across every company, be it small, be it large. And the reason being is, the SKUs, the number of SKUs are so large that it is very difficult to go beyond to a certain level. And the orthopedic surgeons do not forgive a company if they do not supply the product at the right time. So if you, for example, if a surgeon is using, say, a knee, any company has to provide at least the four sizes, plus to this side and plus to this side for femur and tibia, with left and right combinations and with different sizes of inserts, and sometimes with the revision offerings as well. So every surgeon, the system is such, the orthopedic industry is such, that you have to keep that inventory in order to be able to supply. Now, to your point, why we are 154 crores and why should not be at 100 crores or 120 crores or 130 crores? The reason being is, as I said, what has happened is because of the supply chain issues, we had to manufacture a lot of codes on a certain size. So if you look at the inventory is skewed. A certain number of inventory is high in certain sizes, but a certain number of inventory on lower sizes are not there. And so what is happening is we are not being able to supply a large number of products into some of these orders that we were talking about, especially in India and Indonesia. So, but as we said, as we navigate this problem of the supply chain, we'll be much more even. And when our sales increase to that 150 crore level that we have been planning this year, that 154 crore inventory would looking much better.
And thank you, sir. And so, on the supply chain issues that we had, where are we now in terms of, or as we speak, where are we now in terms of those issues being resolved?
Yes, we have actually resolved much more over the last 2 months that we have not been able to resolve in the last 1 year. And if you ask me, we have been able to identify at least three or four new vendors with commitments. So just, I'm sorry, I'm explaining it a bit detailed because it's important that investors all understand what goes on in the big industry. So basically what happens, if I identify a vendor, it's not that tomorrow I give an order and he supplies. That doesn't work that way. First of all, we have to qualify that vendor because we are dealing with things or products which goes into a body of a patient. So FDA has a certain nomenclature and standardization of approval. So for example, if I have a supplier in Germany, I have identified a very good supplier in Germany who will be able to give me similar quality, good raw materials at 30% less price, just as an example, versus what you get in the US. I have to send an FDA qualified auditor to be able to audit that, which takes 2 weeks. CAPAs are generated, it comes back, correction mechanisms are done, and then that approval is given. Once the approval is given, then we have to look at the drawings, and the drawings of engineering can happen in ASTM format, in ISO format. It depends upon in Europe, some goes into ISO, some goes into ASTM. Now, we have to convert those drawings, then send it to them, then they make the toolings. The toolings are not manufactured by that company who makes the raw material. Some other, they give it to a subcontractor who does the toolings. When they do the toolings, which takes certain time, then we place the order, then they make the raw material casting. It comes to us, we do a first article inspection of a certain number of samples and batches, and if we pass it, then they start the production. It's a very complicated process, and that's the reason I'm saying that it sometimes when we get shortchanged by some vendor who have been supplying for so long, for whatsoever reasons, by getting into a new vendor, it takes time. But good thing is that over the last 2 months, they've been able to identify some solid vendors. Some of them have already started tooling. The engineering drawings have been released. Some of them have already sent some materials to us for FAI. And that's the reason I'm saying I'm very confident that the next quarter and then the following quarter will be fantastic for us.
And so,
I'm sorry for the long-winded answer, but I thought I would use this opportunity to really give you a flavor of what goes on in this industry.
No, it helps a lot, sir. It helps a lot. Did we have to lose out on any customers, unfortunately, due to these issues?
It's a great question. Yes, in the U.S., not in India, not in Indonesia, in the U.S., I would have not said we have lost them. We have got a bit of, emotion associated with that. So they have not been able to be too supportive with us over the last month or so, because we have not been able to keep up to their expectation. What happens is a surgeon depends on you for a long time. And then because of certain unforeseen circumstances that doesn't happen, then another company comes in. And as you understand, in the U.S., 90% of the business is controlled by the four large players. And they are always waiting for small players like us to make such decisions. Having said this, the relationship has developed over several years. It's just a small glitch. We are in constant touch. The good thing that happens is, in spite of the surgeon has reduced, say, given maybe a small one or two products to some other company, we are relentless in pursuing them to understand that, give them that this is what we are going to do over the next 2 to 3 months so that we can win them back. So, yes, we have lost a few number of implants from a few number of surgeons in the U.S. because they have been a bit of a resentment of our supply chain situation. But we are constantly in touch with them. We are in great terms with them, and we'll win them back.
Okay, that's great. And so my one last question. So have we started supplying to the Japan market? Because that I understand is a high-priced market. So have we started on supplying to Japan?
Yes, we actually, again, Japan had been supplied by the previous company from which we acquired. We had a distributor, and the distributor was always there. Over the last 3-4 years, the Japan business has trickled down to a minuscule, because this company was not being able to, our previous company was not being able to supply them on time, and there was a lot of situations on products and pricing. When we took over, we have re-engaged with them. Unfortunately, the Japanese yen has become very weak versus the US dollar. So what has happened is we are still being negotiating with them with the pricing. Our person, we do not have anyone located in Japan, but we have a person located in Malaysia who has some knowledge about the Japanese market. He was in Korea last week. Actually, we are looking at entering into the Korea market very soon as well, which hopefully in the next investor call, I would be able to talk a bit more. Right now, it's too early to comment. But he will be going to Japan next month to be able to starting the process of the business. The Japan business was very small for us. We have an enormous scope to increase it with the current distributor, plus look at some other distributor going forward.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot for answering my questions.
Thank you very much, Guru. asking the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Heat One from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations for such good set of numbers. My first question would be regarding the hospital business. Did we see any possible deferment in the surgeries in Q2? And if yes, that the impact of that would be positive in the Q3 and it would offset the festive season?
Well, I think if you look at the surgery growth, you know, especially arthroplasty has grown 18%. So as such, you know, it has not been muted for us, the quarter two numbers. Yes, usually the festive season, especially Diwali, you see that, you know, the historical trend says that, you know, some of the elective surgeries kind of slow down during this period. But then, you know, it is like 3 months. So, you know, usually you don't see, you know, it deferred to the next quarter as such. You usually see it deferred to, you know, maybe end November or December. So usually, you know, it is going to be very similar, and you will definitely see a similar kind of growth on a year-on-year basis from quarter three of last year.
Oh, okay, thank you, sir. And secondly, on the implant business, so are we going to expand our sales force, like, to penetrate further into the markets?
Yes. So if you look at the U.S., currently we do not have a marketing person, and we have only 3 salespeople. Basically, in the U.S., it's a very much of a distributor model, where the distributor carries a lot of relationship with the surgeons and the hospitals, and then they get in our products. We are not only engaging new distributors, we are also getting in people covering in the western region and also in the eastern region. Today we have a person as a regional business director in the Midwest, and we have a person in Southeast. We are going to appoint a person very shortly in the western region, will be covering the entire big states like California and Arizona and Wyoming and some of the Colorado and some of the others. And then we are appointing another person, which is shortlisting in the east, which will cover those large states of New Jersey and New York and Massachusetts and Washington and others. So that's our plan for the U.S. perspective, and we expect that would help us, because when we will only recruit people who have a lot of experience in that industry and will be coming over to work for us. So that will be, bringing them a lot of relationships as well as a lot of understanding of the business. In India, we will be strengthening our team further. We already have a solid team, but unless and until we get our products, there's no point in really putting up a large number of salespeople. But we know a lot of sales people and good quality salespeople are ready to join us. They give us feelers, so we have kept them in a warm mode. And as soon as we have a large amount of supplies normalized into India, we will be able to take a lot more people, both at the managerial level, at the leadership level, as well as the sales rep level.
Thank you, sir. And so my last question would be, any update regarding Mumbai Hospital? Any progressive update?
So the Mumbai hospital is, you know, progressing well in terms of the Chantry Commissioner application to happen. Certain issues there which we are resolving out. We hope to get the Chantry Commissioner approval soon.
And I think the issues, you know, are mainly to do with, you know, the delay from the trust side. I think they have, you know, kind of consensus within the group now. So I think we are good to go, and very shortly we'll be applying for the Charity Commissioner's application.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Divya Daga from VG Global Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. Congratulations for great set of numbers. In hospital segment, we have done great. But I have question related to implant segment. As you have mentioned that in Q3, we will be having a good result, better than Q2, and Q4 will be much, much better. So my question is, will we be able to achieve our target of guidance you have provided in earlier previous con calls?
The answer is we may not be able to reach our sales targets or business targets. As we said, we were planning to grow by 50% as a target this year. We may fall short of the target because we won't be able to get that number of products through our supply chain. So we are aiming at around close to 30 to 35% growth, which is a very good growth in the current circumstances. But we had targeted a mid-level positive EBITDA, which we are very certain that we'll be able to deliver by the end of this year.
And my last question is, sir, what is the implant production this quarter?
This quarter, implant production, correct me if I'm wrong, Amit, but it is around close to 12,000 parts. 12,000 parts means around 3,000 constructs of implants.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ashka Trivedi from KDR Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. And congratulations on the good set of numbers. So my question is that currently we have significant cash on books. So are we looking for any organic or inorganic acquisitions going forward?
So, Asta, yes, there are certain plans on, on the use of this cash for, furthering growth of new hospitals or even the franchisee units, the operated franchisee units, which will need certain capital investments. We'll keep you updated as we move forward on those.
Yeah, and I think we have shortlisted a few cities, especially Delhi and Calcutta, where we would like to we are looking for hospitals on the multi-speciality side, apart from, all the expansion that is planned on the franchisee side. And it is a conscious decision taken by the board because, for the last 5 years, we have been consolidating the existing business, the hospital business. And in this quarter, in the first half of this year, if you annualize the ROCE, we have done north of 23%. So we feel that this is an appropriate time now to look at opportunities in some of these important markets.
Sir, any tentative amount which you can give, which you would be spending on this plan?
It will all depend on the opportunity, very honestly.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sanket Guntaka, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. My only question is that is there any business expansion in southern region?
Sir, your voice is muffled. May we request you to use your handset, please?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, my question is somewhat related to one of our participants' question. It is like any expansion in southern region, because I feel like there is a lot of scope in southern region in two-tier cities. So on the
multi-speciality hospitals business, the focus will be first initially covering Delhi, Calcutta, and some of the other regions. On the franchising side, yes, we are open to looking at certain cities in the south.
Mm-hmm. So you are only looking at metropolitan cities or any two-tier cities or your plan?
So not necessarily. So we are looking at, Delhi and Calcutta in terms of metros and, some of the important cities like Lucknow and Patna, etc. If we get opportunities there, we would be looking at, tier one cities, which have a huge potential and a demand supply gap as well. And where, of course, Shelby is a well-recognized brand because if you look at our expansion, it has always been very strategic and we have gone to cities where we already have a very strong brand presence and recall.
Because as of my knowledge, what I see in southern region, there are many two-tier cities which has no multi-specialty hospitals, but there are a lot of hospitals, big hospitals, I can say, but they are doing well in business. That is where my point. So I just thought of asking.
No, fair point. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So while I appreciate your effort on, you know, expanding on the international OPDs, could you just throw some light on the strategy you have in place for medical tourism per se?
Yeah, so, you know, we have been doing medical tourism and we've been very active in this part of the world, and we started, you know, about 20 years ago. And in fact, as we speak today, we are conducting medical OPDs, you know, not only in Africa, but we've also now started medical OPDs in the Middle East. So something we had basically an OPD planned in Dubai. So now we are going to be continuing that OPD in Dubai. We are also in advanced talks with somebody in Muscat. On the other hand, you know, of course, we are a household name in East Africa. At the same time, you know, we are we've been doing actively participating in medical camps across the West African region as well. So that is another area of growth for Shalby in the future. And besides that, even in the SAARC region, we have been very active in Bangladesh and Nepal. And of course, we have been conducting medical camps and OPDs there, which we will continue to do so. At the same time, you know, we are getting approached by hospitals and partners, potential partners in Sri Lanka, etc. So, you know, there is a lot of action going on the medical tourism piece.
Thank you. That helps. Thank you. Good day.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Heath One from Elara Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. One, please proceed with your question.
Hello, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah. So just to continue with regards to your organic expansion, inorganic expansion, so are we including international geographies too in that? Only India specific?
Well, I think from the investment perspective, we will be looking at India. At the same time, we are looking at, you know, potential partnerships in terms of operations, you know, in many other countries. Especially, you know, we are keen to kind of set up a franchisee where, you know, which is very asset-light in nature, maybe in Nairobi. So that is something that is on the cards for us immediately. But from the point of view of real estate investment, whether it's the land, building, medical equipment, we would prefer to do it in India.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on the touchtone phone now. We'll take the next question from the line of Sampath Nayak from Tiger Assets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, like, this year we'll be not able to meet 50% sales target that we have set out. But what would be the, you know, sales expectation maybe for FY25 and 26? If you can give a ballpark number.
Yeah, so we, as I said, we will continue to chase our $100 million target that we had committed in the next 5 years, as we said. So our plan is when we put up our sales target for next year, we would cover this deficit of the sales target that we won't be able to reach this year. And that dollar amount or that rupees crore amount will be added to the next year's target so that we are in line to that $100 million that we committed for 5 years. As I said, it's the demand is there. It's just a question of the supply chain not being able to put up to that expectation. So as we have said that we have developed the strategy and the tactic to be able to create a much improved supply chain situation over the quarters. And we expect the full fiscal year of next year will be much, much better in terms of supply chain, and with the demand growing up exponentially, we believe that we will be able to cover the deficit, whatever be it small amount this year, into the next year's budget.
Yeah, so I joined in a bit late. So on the consolidated level, what is the EBITDA margin we are targeting?
On the consolidated level, I think, we should look at the EBITDA percentage, at both the businesses separately. So that's because, the kind of the implant business is currently in the growth phase. So, you will see a flat EBITDA for this year. But you will, on the hospital side, you will see EBITDA north of 25%, for the implant, for the hospital business.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanika Khemani from Safari Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so actually my question was, we have given a target of 850 crores of kind of revenue on the hospital front this year. So are we still on track for that? And what kind of a growth are we looking at the hospital segment going forward?
Well, we will definitely we'll cross that target is what it looks like, currently based on the existing first half results. So we are looking at north of 900 crores on the hospital's business. And, the kind of growth that has been seen in the first half of this year, we feel that, we should be able to continue with that growth because, as I said earlier, there is significant capacity available for growth in the existing setup without much capex. So, we will continue to grow at this level for the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Gupta from Varanium Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I
have. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, good morning. My question is more related to the business model. We have two business model for
sorry line. To interrupt. Sir, your voice is muffled. May we request you to use your handset, please?
Yeah, hello.
Yes, sir, please proceed.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah. So my question is related to our business model, and if we have two business models, Fosun and Fosun, so which model is more profitable for us as we are? Hello.
Karan, there is a lot of background noise coming from your side, so so we can't hear you properly.
Just a second. Yeah. Is it better now?
So your voice is breaking.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
My question is related to the business model we have, right? Before, so where franchise on to be operated. So which model is more profitable for us as our competitor if we just say in the pediatric segment, we have, child care hospitals. So which is they are owning in our model, which is, a satellite model. We are also a satellite model, but how much is going to the franchise then? So which model is important for also one more option?
So, Karan, based on what you have asked that, which model under the SOC that the FOSO and FOSUM, which looks more profitable, that's what we could hear, and I think we can answer.
So, Karan, on which is the more profitable model, as I, said earlier, when it comes to FOSUM, I get the revenue share, which, most of it, 90% of it, hits my bottom line. So one may say that that's more profitable. In the FOSO model, I get the top line revenue because that's I own the OPEX
and I, you know, the EBITDA hits my, or the PAT hits my bottom line. So it's a give and take on which will be a more profitable model depending upon the city we choose, whether it is a FOSO or a FOSUM city which we want to operate. For me, both the models present an equal opportunity to grow and to increase my presence in the market.
Okay, so to increase the presence in the market, you can first go with the FOSO where you your revenue share will be high, right?
So you my top line will be, reported top line will be better in a FOSO model.
Yeah, yeah. So increasing the presence in the market, you will go with this FOSO model.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. That was unclear. Your audio was not clear. Can you please repeat again?
So, Herbal and Spoke model, what you are doing with the Herbal and Spoke model? Because these OPDs you are setting up in overseas market as well. This is just for the outpatient. Right. And your hub will be kind of multi-specialty hospitals, right?
Right. So, Karan, the OPDs have nothing to do with the hub and spoke. The OPDs happen across various cities in India and international markets, which are there to draw patients to the existing hospitals in different places. Now, OPDs happen in close-by districts as well as other districts. What Shane talked about, you know, we have several OPDs happening in eastern part and the southern part of the country, as well as we are now focusing on fixed OPDs in international markets also. When it comes to hub and spoke, it's not just about having, the hub is not just a multi-speciality necessarily. When I speak about hub and spoke, it is about operationalizing. How do I create a halo effect with a group of hospitals in a particular region, and I'm able to operationalize it better. It's not just about opening a hospital. I have to, even on a shall be managed model, I have to manage and make that hospital successful. So how do I place my people who are responsible for making it successful? That's where the hub and spoke comes into, you know, play. So our largest city will play. So I have a hospital in Lucknow. Now, when I look at East UP and I have more hospitals in East UP, the hospital in Lucknow will end up playing my hub for the other hospitals. And it, I talked about it more from an operationalizing and operational efficiency point of view.
Okay, okay. So, fair enough.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Puneet Maheshwari, Investor Relations Corporate Strategy, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks. I would like to thank each one of you for the great participation. It was a wonderful news call, and I would also like to take the opportunity to thank the management of Shalby. Looking forward to connect later on. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.